As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show Podcast, Basket Buds Edition. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Josh Huestis. We got Jay King. Is Jay King frozen? I think Jay King is frozen from
Celtics
practice facility. Yeah, but you've got a stupid face frozen on the screen. There we go. Now you're good. Hey, make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/NBA Show. You get our latest deal on subscribing to The Athletic. It is the best and most comprehensive sports coverage you will find on the internet, and well worth your money. Also, make sure you subscribe to this YouTube page, the Athletic NBA Show YouTube page. Make sure you're leaving comments and like nice comments. You know, they don't have to be too nice. Or if you're gonna make fun of, make it funny. You know, I don't mind. I don't mind you roasting us. Just make it funny, and like everything, and pass it on to all your friends and all that good stuff. Make sure, on whatever podcast platform you're listening on, you leave a 5-star review. There, you can say anything about us. Don't care. Just make it 5 stars. That's the deal with this. All right, guys. The in-season tournament is officially in the books. The Lakers win. The Pacers lose. The Zion thing was upsetting. We can get into all that. But, Josh, what were your initial thoughts as we wrapped up the first in-season tournament? What were your favorite parts? Like, how much do you think this sticks on a scale of like 1 to 10?
I was wrong.
Yeah,
I was wrong. I think it went much better than I thought it would. I think people cared a lot more than I thought they would.
Yeah.
I thought.
Wait, can you talk, like, let's break that down, like, as a player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those, you know, I think there's excitement when the season first starts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's a long season. Like, it's right. A long, like, maybe not in November you're starting to feel that so much. Like, I think that's more of like a late December, January thing, right? With the dog days of the season. But it does seem like there's more juice in the first month and a half of the season than we've seen before.
For sure. And I was worried because I remember talking at the beginning, like, and we saw it with Brandon Ingram and Zion, like $500,000 to a lot of these guys is just, what did D'Angelo say? He said that's going to pay for his like next two vacations.
Summer. Yeah.
Two summer vacations.
So I didn't, I was worried that people wouldn't care because that's, you know, joke money. It's screwed up to say, but it's joke money to some of these guys. So I wasn't sure how much they would actually care, but it seemed like they actually did. And I think the tone was set by guys like LeBron and KD talking positively about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Silver sat them down and was like, guys, got to get on board.
Need you,
please. We need you to do this for us, please. But it worked, man. People were excited about it. So I was pleasantly surprised with that. I think it's here to stay as far as I'm concerned.
Let me ask you another question, because this was brought up. I was doing NBA radio with Eddie Johnson on Friday, and he brought up this point, which I hadn't considered, which I thought was pretty brilliant, where he said, look, LeBron is going all out with this tournament, right? He's going all out. They kill the Pelicans. Like, he's going all out. He gets all these guys an extra $500,000, right?
Yep.
Now for the rest of the season, as he is trying to will them into being title contenders and win another title for him, he has this ultimate kind of like, I just got you paid $500,000. Like, you are going to, like, everyone's going to buy in to whatever is being asked of them a lot more than maybe previously. And it's an angle I hadn't considered. And I don't think that's going to be everyone across the board. I think guys are still going to be themselves in most of these situations, but it is like kind of a brilliant incentive for, if you're the leader of the team and you will this team to win this prize money, mm-hmm. you know, and of course those sweet medals, that is kind of a motivating factor for leadership the rest of the season.
And it's not the same as a playoff game, obviously, but for the Pacers, like, that's the best simulation for playoff basketball that they're going to get from
yeah.
the standpoint of every possession matters, every detail matters. You have to know that, like, you have to defend at a totally different level against the top teams than they have normally. And so that experience for them was great for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs, that hasn't experienced a lot of that together, like going through Boston, going up against LA, going up against Milwaukee. Like, that's great experience for that team, for Halliburton, never mind the exposure that they get from it. But it's like, you're not going to be able to simulate the playoffs in that way in a regular season game. You're just not.
Right.
What do we think? What will we change? Well, first, actually, before that, we got to talk about two things. One, the D'Angelo Russell, Bruce Brown trash talk is just so funny. It's Jokic great. Isn't around for you now. It's different. It's like, you have LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
You have like 13 points on 15 shots or whatever. And he was good. Don't get me wrong. He was good in the game, but he didn't like shoot well.
My other thing too was, he came out earlier in the season and openly acknowledged, he said, I want to be Derek White, because basically the Nuggets played him off the court in the playoffs and he decided that he needed to change his entire playing style. And he hasn't really, but that's beside the point.
He's been better.
The point is, he's acknowledged that he was not nearly good enough against Bruce Brown's team while Bruce Brown's team won the title.
Yeah.
And now he's like, yeah, but you had Jokic next to you after scoring 13 points on 15 shots.
It's my favorite amount of self-awareness since Reggie Miller was giving Mark Jackson sayings on ESPN the other night. Not like like him doing the catchphrases of Mark Jackson, a fired employee of ESPN. I know it's maybe his guy, or maybe he doesn't like Mark Jackson, I don't know, but former teammate. Like, it's that's the kind of self-awareness that I love, is D'Angelo Russell just like, yeah, you don't have Jokic now, it's different. It's like, it's not different for you. You still have your two superstars to play off of. Like, that's crazy.
He was playing great when he was in Minnesota without him, though.
Great? And then the other thing is this, like, faux, we're going to make this a kid-friendly environment. We're going to, like, oh, kids, why don't we have some kids come on stage and they're going to pass out medals? They're going to pass out the NBA Cup medals to these players, and they do it. And then, like, they're fucking kids around Anthony Davis and LeBron James and D'Angelo Russell and all these guys. And so they're like saying hi to them and like getting autographs and their shirts signed and everything. And then Adam Silver's like, kids, we have something to do here. Like, get off the stage. That is that's the greatest moment. Like, number one is this for Adam Silver. Number two is the Donald Sterling thing. Like, this is the greatest moment. This is when he became commissioner, is when he shooed some kids away that he brought into the mix for this whole celebration. That was my favorite part of the tournament.
That's the layer that made it so great, is that they brought the kids on to basically to use them to make it more like friendly.
100%.
And to give off the image that they're like a family-friendly league. And then he's like, all right, enough from you little assholes. Get out of here.
Yeah, we got pictures to take. fuck off the court. Go find your parents. For a second, I thought they were like family members of all these players. Until Adams, I was like, get the fuck off my court. Like, you don't belong here. This is Vegas. Go to Circus Circus. What are you doing here?
All I could think is he told them before, like, do not ask for autographs. Do not linger.
Yeah.
But what are you going to tell? You're going to tell a bunch of kids that they can't talk to LeBron James. He's right there. He's just like, don't say anything to him, though. Just get out of here.
Yeah, just get out of here. Give him his medal. Get out of here.
You're there for the photos, you little dipshit.
He turned into Buzz from Home Alone all of a sudden, just like talking shit to these kids. All right. What is the one thing you want changed for the next go around, Jay?
So to me, the biggest issue with the way it is right now, and there are some other things I would like to change. And the biggest thing to me was you have to play the last games of group stage all at the same time.
Yep.
If point differential is a thing, you cannot have one team be playing the last day knowing exactly what they need, what score they need, mm-hmm. while another team is at home and they don't have that knowledge. They don't have that. That extra layer of preparation.
So like you're Magic, treating this like final the
Magic
of the season.
Had a 22-point lead in point differential, and the Celtics had one game left, and the Celtics were like, oh, let's just win by at least 23. And the Magic never got that gift. So
yeah, but you still have to
that
win
was
by
messed
23.
Up
like 23 is a lot of points. I know the Celtics have done that regularly.
But maybe the maybe if the Magic have another game against, like, I don't know, the Nets or something, then they would have won by more than the 8 or whatever they beat the Nets by earlier in the tournament. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't even know if that, you know.
Yeah, I think
it's motivation to hit that next gear, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
So.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so you're treating this like it's the scoring title at the end of the season. Like, everyone's playing on the last day pretty much at the same time. You have two sets of games.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone plays same day. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone plays the same night. That would be at least the last game.
Yeah. Josh, what do you think?
I mean, similar. I think that I personally think that you do all the seeding games in a row, like over the course of a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's fair to put some teams have back-to-backs, some teams have more rest. I think it screws with availability for the better players coming off back-to-backs. You're not going to get teams' best. You're going to get one team that, you know, has a couple of days rest going into their in-season tournament game versus another team who's coming off a back-to-back or a long road trip or whatever the case may be. And I think that kind of screws with the playing field a little bit. Mm. It's not quite even. That would be what I would do, is just like, hey, let's just carve out 2 weeks at the end of November and we're just going to play all these games. The only games that are going to be on TV are in-season tournament games. That's it.
Yeah. I agree. I think
that's the way to do it.
I also think that's the best way to market this thing.
Yeah. Right, because how do you know, other than the courts, how do you know what you're watching?
Exactly.
But it's a season tournament game.
And granted, it was the
first
one.
And it was confusing,
one.
Too. Like, I cover a team, and I didn't always know, like, until the day before or whatever, that it was going to be an in-season tournament game. It's not like I knew. Like, it's confusing to know which games are the in-season tournament games when they're just on, like, random Tuesdays and Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, it says it right on the schedule, you know.
it had a little trophy.
Even on
right
basketball
next.
Reference, right next to it, just says in-season tournament.
But I have my schedule on the calendar on my phone.
And you can Google it too, Jay.
Alert me that.
Google.com, and there's a little search bar, and you just say, is this an in-season tournament game? And see what comes up.
That's it. Direct quote. Is this an in-season tournament game?
Yeah, that's like
appreciate your advice.
No details.
But I think it's confusing. Like, if you're trying to get fans to buy into this, right? Like, I think the diehard fans, Jay King aside, know, like, okay,
right.
Tomorrow, tonight, this is in-season tournament stuff.
But and this then you wasn't see the courts, for the diehard fans.
Right, exactly. You're trying to bring in casual fans like, hey, this matters. Yeah. And I think because of that, having it interwoven with the regular season games is confusing and it's dumb. And I get it. The whole making a schedule for the season for 30 teams is complicated. I get that. But if you want to throw this into the mix, it just needs to be the last 2 weeks of November and that first week of December, that's tournament time, baby. And that's it. Like those 3 weeks, we're going to have two games of group play each week in the first 2 weeks and then the single elimination tournament.
Yep.
Like, I think that's knock, the way it's got to go.
That's the casual fan knock against the NBA, I feel like, is that people go, oh, they don't play hard.
Right.
Right. Because I don't think people, the layman doesn't get the whole strategy. Like the resting thing, I could talk about that forever.
Sure.
Because I don't think a lot of people understand the length of the season and the wear and tear and like the...
Just to make it clear, Josh is anti-rest. He wants 82 straight games, 82 straight days. Yep. Yeah.
That's yeah.
Just, and my money is like play. LA Fitness. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So like it's, they want it to be, hey, casual fans, look how hard we can make our players play. So let's,
what a weird thing to have to say though, right?
Like, isn't it weird? But because that's what people that but it's like true. Casual fans don't, they don't get, they look at it and they're like, oh, they're not going very hard. It's like, you know, you don't get it. They played six games last week.
Right.
And they're thinking about April and May. I don't know.
And they got on planes and flew 3 hours, got in at 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah, but guys, it's 5-star accommodations. Okay. Let's, and they're paid millions. All right.
And then you get the guys who are like, well, I, you know, I don't get to take a day off in my factory job.
I play every day at 24 hour fitness.
And I'm fine.
I'm fine.
No, you don't. You just told us you haven't played in 2 years.
We're playing a character, Jay. We're
you have to do the Adam Sandler voice. That's the only way we know that you've entered into characters. That's the only way he knows it's a bit.
By the way, tomorrow night I tear my Achilles. I'll try to Instagram live it.
Instagram live it.
Okay. So Josh kind of took mine. So what else can we do? I don't want to do the whole court thing. We've talked about the courts.
Adam Silver said he might do it in the finals, though. Relax.
He's not going to do that in the finals.
There's no need to turn the final court into a gimmick.
No, they're going to slap that stupid NBA Finals logo on there, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's the only thing they're doing on the court. They're like, he's just trying to tell you, like, I like these courts. These
I might quit. I might quit if they make me watch the finals with those courts. I might quit my job.
Adam, please.
I might become an insurance salesman.
Please do these courts in the finals. Please. Call it the NBA Cup. Don't call the in-season tournament. Call the whole thing the NBA Cup. NBA Cup group play, NBA Cup single elimination tournament. The whole in-season tournament is a stupid name. And I get it. Like, you kind of just have to let people know the first time, hey, it's the in-season tournament. Now that you've had it, we call it the NBA Cup final, right? Like, all this stuff, it just should be branded around NBA Cup. Sell it to Gatorade. Sell it to, you know, DraftKings. Sell it to whatever. I don't care. Like, sell the, but it can be whatever companies. NBA Cup. The Athletics. Sell it to the Athletic. The Athletics NBA Cup. That might be confusing, but you'll find the best coverage regardless on the Athletic. All right. We're going to play Jay King's favorite game that he named How Real. But first, these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, guys. It's time for J. King's favorite game, How Real. This is the game where we just rate things on a scale of 1 to 10. You know? Just how much do you believe in this? That's... We do, Dave in the chat said we need a Ja Rule drop. We do need a Ja Rule drop. But the thing where, like, the music wouldn't come on at that Bucks game he was performing at, that one, that's the drop we need for this. Not the actual song. I just want that. We have five topics, and we're going to figure out how much we believe in each one. Topic number one. They're about to meet Adam Silver, Ja Morant, to see just how serious Ja has taken the suspension and his return to the court. But on a scale of 1 to 10, J. King, how real is it that Ja will return, turn around the Grizzlies, who are currently 6-15 and 13th in the West?
This is a 4 out of 10. They are not going to be a great team this year. They just lost too much talent. Their roster is not good enough. However, they're quietly up to 12th in defense. Their problem has been that they just cannot score at all. Ja's going to fix some of that. He's going to allow them to get out in transition. They've been a kind of slow team. He's a one-man fast break. He's going to help everybody get easier buckets. He's going to bring back some of their offensive rebounding because of the way that he gets into the paint, that he breaks down a defense, that he opens up the avenues for guys to get back on the glass. So they're not going to be a great team, but he's going to make them – he's going to lift that offense to the place where it's at least respectable, and I think their defense will be good enough that they'll be okay.
Josh, how real is this on a scale of 1 to 10?
I gave this a 4, too. Kind of the same reason. Like, the pace is going to go up, obviously. Mm-hmm. Ja, like Jay said, one-man fast break. He's going to put pressure on the rim, which is going to open up three-point opportunities. They've got decent three-point shooters, a couple guys that can knock them down, right? Defensively, they're good, but Ja isn't going to be the guy that they bring in that's going to, like, make their defense just take leaps and bounds forward or anything like that. But I can't see him moving up more than maybe one or two spots because the West is just loaded, and there's nobody – there's only a couple teams ahead of them that maybe they leapfrog, but I don't see them make it, like, getting so good that all of a sudden they're in the mix for the playoffs.
I agree. The hole's too big at this point. They're not going to be able to dig themselves out of it in that West.
No.
And they're not good
enough. They're not that far behind.
But who do they leapfrog? Who do they? So they've got one or two positions to maybe move.
I mean, they'll pass the Jazz. I mean, they could pass the Warriors. They're not, like, they're 3.5 games behind the Warriors. Well, we'll get to this Warriors team. Like,
but after that, where do they go?
I don't. The Pelicans? Are they? I mean, are we gonna expect the Pelicans to be healthy? Like, they're never healthy. So you're expecting the Pelicans to be healthy? You know, Clippers maybe turned it around. Rockets still have a bunch of road games. You know, although congrats to them getting that road win in Denver. That's a tough first road win of the season. I just think, like, I'm gonna put this at an 8. I think they get into the play-in tournament. Am I saying that just because you guys went against it? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's just good podcasting. Who knows? Maybe I don't believe it. But I'm going to put it at an 8. I do think, like, he solves so many of their issues. Like, you guys mentioned it. Their offense sucks.
Yeah.
Like, their offense just flat out sucks.
It's just and lifeless, he is, too. They have nobody who can just break you down.
I think, you know, it's been a while since we've seen Ja play, but that dude's fucking good. Like he's really dynamic and really good. And before they could win without him, but now that they don't have that same structure, they need him on the court. Now, I also, if you ask me how real is it that he's going to get suspended again, I'd put that at an 8 as well. Like I'm not convinced that he has learned his lesson here. But there's also like the, what about the idea that like he just leans into this more and does more of this stuff that gets him suspended? Because like he probably has enough money for the rest of his life, right? Like he sells all that Nike money. His shoe just came out. What if he just really wants to lean into this? What if he goes Tupac, you know, from the sense of just like not really that guy, but decides to like have that persona? You never know.
If he wants street cred, I wouldn't advise that to him.
To get suspended out of the league. I'm not saying he should. I'm not advising that either. Sorry, I got to do the Sandler voice if I'm doing a bit. But you know what I'm saying? Like if he wants like street cred and all this, to get suspended out of the league because he wanted to do this stuff and you got the money to do it, you know, maybe that's where his interest is now.
Own league.
Yeah, or joins overtime elite or some bullshit. Like who knows what those rules are. Yeah, joins the big three. Just him and Big Baby out there just wrecking.
Would he even be good in the big three?
Are you kidding me?
You think he, but it's the half court.
It's all half court.
It's all in the half court. That's a good point.
It's all in the half year court. 50-year-old playing.
Obviously, he would be incredible with the big three.
50. They had
but
Mo
I don't
Evans.
Think it's the league
they
for
had Mo Evans dominating the league the first 3 years.
I just...
This is an interesting
tangent. I'm just not sure he could keep up with like Mike Beasley or whoever's in the big three in the half court.
Royce White.
I'm going to slap you in the mouth.
I should have used my Adam Sandler voice.
All right. Number two. On a scale of 1 to 10, Josh, I know where you are on this, but I'm going to ask you first anyway. Number two, scale of 1 to 10. The Warriors are toast.
I'm gonna say 6. And here's why. I think there's a couple people that I like get nervous about ever betting against. And it's like it was like Tom Brady and LeBron. I never fully count those guys out ever.
Right.
And Steph is another one of those guys that I never fully count out. So I'm not convinced it's over. I mean, you've got guys that can get hot. They can go on a little bit of a run here, maybe. Maybe Wiggins gets hot. Clay gets hot. You know what I mean?
Like, it'd be nice if Clay got mild. That would be nice.
It's possible. So I'm not going to totally count them out, but is it going to happen? Probably not, but I'm not there calling it for them yet. I'm not totally convinced, but so I'm going 6.
Jay, the Warriors are toast. Scale of 1 to 10. How real?
I'm going 8. They're toast. I've seen this before.
You've seen this before.
I covered the end of the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce era in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And it was like 2012.
But they didn't have anybody that was good at that point.
2012, they could have won a championship. 2013, they were done. It was over. And nobody knew it at first.
2012, they could not have won a championship.
They lost to LeBron. That was the year they lost to LeBron when he went nuts in Game 6 and Game 7. If he didn't touch God and totally...
But he was always going to touch God.
We know that now, but nobody knew that at the time. They took a 3-2 lead and went home.
I said this shit when the Rockets went up 3-2 on the Warriors. They were like, oh, well, if Chris Paul... The Rockets were always going to blow that series. What are we doing? The Warriors were always going to win those last two games because they're the Warriors.
Okay.
And LeBron was always going to be LeBron.
Fair.
However, it's half a knee left. He's
however,
not take them out.
It happened. What I'm trying to say is it happened super quickly from the point where they were a contender and then it was just done. Like they just had nothing left. And you thought that whole next year is like, if they get healthy at the right time, maybe they can fit. They were just done. And the Warriors just feel like that to me. I'm like, Josh, I don't want to count Steph out. It's possible that he goes on an absolute tear, carries him. Clay starts making shots. Wiggins starts playing up to a level you expect out of him. But to me, it's just like this team has, it's past its time.
When do you think they call it then? You think they call it at the trade deadline?
No.
You think they just play it out?
They're going to play it out.
I think they play it out.
I think they're going to run it back.
I mean, they went and got Chris Paul.
They're going to run it back next year. By the way, this is a 10 out of 10. They're toast. They're absolutely 10
out of 10.
I've given up. I'm completely out. As good as Steph is, I believe it. Like, Josh, I'm with you. Like, I believe in Steph over anything, pretty much. But this team is not good. Like, they don't do championship shit. They don't have championship level players outside of Steph and Draymond. Wiggins has been terrible. Klay has been terrible. You know, like, Looney's a championship level player, but there's only so much he can do. Steve Kerr doesn't trust his bench at all. Like, he will not trust Moody and Kuminga consistently. Mm-hmm. Like, no offense to Jay King, but Pachemski is not going to bring them up to that level. Sarge is not going to bring them up to that level. Like, they just, like, in the West, in this conference, like, that's the thing. If the conference was weaker, if there were, like, four fewer teams, then maybe I could talk myself into it. But, like, Josh may end up being
four teams just disappeared.
Yes, it's just, and they're all the Nuggets. But like, I'm not convinced they're better than the Rockets, like, at all. I'm not convinced that they're better than the Clippers. I'm not convinced that the Grizzlies can't catch them. Like, I just
the most troubling part is that they can't succeed even with their starters on the court. That's when it's like. Like, the guys they trusted, the guys that won championships, the guys that have accomplished all this, that's when they're really struggling. To the point where people are calling for more Kuminga, calling for more Moody. It's like, your problems are deeper than that if you're wanting those guys to step into bigger roles. They're not.
And it would be great for them to prove us all wrong, right? For them to go on a run.
It'd be awesome.
Like, it'd be great. But, like, and maybe this isn't a fair assessment, but just watching the games against the Thunder, they've been close and they've had a chance to win those games and maybe should have won those games. But like, the Thunder have not been scared against them at all. Right. And that's still
everybody used to be scared of them.
Yes. Third quarter would happen and they'd hit two shots in a row and everyone shit their pants. Like, they were inevitable. Scared. Yeah.
For it was sure.
Inevitable. And now nobody's afraid of them.
Or late in the fourth quarter, they're down seven. They start coming back. Steph hits a three. Klay hits a transition three. And it's like, that game is over. It didn't matter if they were down 4 points, 5 points. It was over. Yeah, or like Draymond would get upset. Draymond would get mad. He'd start going crazy. And then their team would go on like a 20-7 run. You know? And that doesn't happen anymore. He just goes crazy and he just goes crazy. That's it.
Yeah. And maybe the Thunder are just like built different, but normally even a good young team like that would be terrified in those moments against the Warriors. And the Thunder just like bring it. Like they're not afraid at all of the Warriors. Yeah. I don't think anybody is.
Warrior threes used to be worth 5 or 6 points. Like there's certain, you know what I mean? Like people that talk about
it would just break
like
your back, right? Like it would just
things that are worth more than the points you put on the score. Exactly. You see that? You see him make one, then you see Klay make one. You're like, oh shit, here it comes.
Yeah. Yep.
Like
this is the title.
You just got to sit here and just take our beating. But now it's like, so what? Like
they can't stop us on the other end.
Right. No, exactly. Like so what? Like nobody just kind of like nobody. They don't have anybody on their heels like they used to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Warriors and the Thunder was a rivalry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was when I was there.
For sure.
It's over. It's over now. Like the Thunder are the better team. It's changed.
Yeah. And it's the Thunder are the better team and it's not really that close. Even though the games have been close, like you can tell the Thunder are just moving in a direction better. The Warriors are not.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Topic three for how real. How real on a scale of 1 to 10 is the statement? The Nets are the most underrated team in the East, Jay.
Like, four?
Do you know where the Nets rank in offense?
I do not off the top of my head.
They're seventh. Seventh in the league.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They're killing teams on offense.
They play super small, and they're tough to guard because they can put when Simmons isn't playing, they put all guys who can shoot out there, sometimes with Claxton. But it's like, it's really tough to guard all of them at once. And they have a lot of, like, good players. Nobody who's, like, phenomenal, but they're, and that's,
Bridges is pretty
probably
good.
Why they're underrated.
Mikal Bridges is pretty phenomenal.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really good.
I mean, I kind of think they are just the, would you put them in the same category as like the Pacers? The Magic?
No.
Not the Magic, but the Pacers, yeah, similar.
So that this is a 10. The most underrated team in the East is the Nets. They're really like exceptionally good. They can't defend for shit, but they are good. Like, this is a good team. Josh, are you somewhere in between 4 and 10, or you just don't believe in them?
I put 3. I'm a wow. 3 on this.
You're
this
makes
them, this proves
I'm an unbeliever because I think that for me, the most underrated team in the East for me is the Cavs.
I don't. I
like the Cavs are underrated because they've played pretty poorly until the last. Because
they played like shit for half the season.
But I think when I've watched them, I've liked the way they play. But as far as the Nets being most underrated, I'm not.
All this does is make my 10 go to an 11.
See, yeah, you're a contrarian.
I'm not a contrarian. They're good.
You are.
I watch a lot of Nets
you. Literally,
games.
Can we bring it back?
We
to
gotta
when,
rewind this podcast.
Why when bring Zach up old said shit
earlier?
That was minutes ago. God. That was minutes ago.
He literally said the only reason he was giving that score was because
that
Jay
was
and
just
I
for that one. I've been. I'm a 10 on the last two topics
now
for
he's no
for real.
Contrarian.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And okay. all that's done is proven me correct.
He just really believes the other side of our argument. That's all.
For sure. Yeah. It's just weird how he always is on the other side.
Let's find out in the next topic. Number 4. How real? Scale of 1 to 10. Josh, the Bulls are stuck with Zach LaVine. By the way, they have not lost since he got injured.
Which is hilarious.
I put a 5 because I just don't. I don't like. A trade could absolutely happen. I just don't know where.
That's the thing, is figuring out like who wants
who's
this,
gonna
right?
take it.
He's and he's not a bad player. It's just so much money.
Yeah,
for a
that's
guy
the whole
who
exactly
isn't what he was.
Exactly.
You know,
and then they're gonna want something that's gonna help their franchise. But like, what losing team out there is gonna offer up? I just don't. I don't know. Like, I think the Bulls are going to make him available, of course, but I just don't, yeah, I don't know who bites. I don't know who bites.
Been available
this is a
for
one.
2 years.
This is a one. He's gone.
Where?
He's gone.
Where though? Who
I don't
takes
know.
The trade?
They may
what
have
they
to
offer?
Take. They may have to take a shitty, shitty deal.
You can't
but
trade him to the Shanghai
to
Sharks.
No, here's why, to me, it's imperative that they get rid of him. Not just that they're winning without him and
no one's saying they shouldn't really, get rid of him. That you don't need to explain why
just,
it's imperative.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's what.
Here's my thing.
With them.
You
they're
cannot
be their
keep
best,
both but. Zach LaVine and Billy Donovan moving forward. It's very clear those guys are not on the same page.
What if you don't have either of them moving forward? Just get rid of both of them.
I think LaVine is the first to go. There's the attitude that they had there to begin this season was just pathetic.
Are you
and Zach LaVine has been terrible. I would trade him no matter what, if I couldn't get a good deal. And I don't think they'll get a good deal.
Well, that's the thing, is I was gonna ask, like, if you're a team and you're not giving up like really anything in terms of like young players or core or anything like that, would you give up an unprotected first for Zach LaVine at this point?
A team that's trying to rebuild, why would you?
Jay shook his head. I know this is an audio medium, but Jay shook his head no. instead of verbally answering.
I was waiting for Josh to speak, and then I was going to say my piece too. We can't all speak, jump to say no at the same time.
A team that's rebuilding, I don't think they gave up an unprotected first. And then a team definitely not.
And it's such a big contract to move too, right? Like that makes it complicated.
Yeah, and it completely changes a team. Like, it completely changes, like, wherever he ends up completely changes the entire dynamic
like,
of the team.
Like, who
would the Lakers do it?
No.
No.
For D'Angelo Russell and something?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
I don't think, because I, like, you know me, I'm not the biggest D-Lo guy, but I'd rather, like, the short half a contract of, I mean, it's literally half the contract that LaVine's getting right now, right? Money-wise and length of the contract. Like, you just, I don't know what flexibility they have moving forward, but you don't, you definitely don't have any with LaVine on the roster. Now you're getting to like second apron shit and everything. Like, you have to be convinced. She's like, this is just all caps in the chat. Please tell me a team. What team would do that? I mean, like, all right, let's throw a team out. Like, Orlando.
No.
No. Why would you blow up what they got going on right now?
Hell no.
What if it just takes like Gary Harris in a first?
No. Because why blow up what they've got going on?
Yeah, and he's a guy, he's going to be ball dominant enough that he's going to totally change you.
Yeah.
And you can't take that risk on him if mm-hmm. you're a legitimate young team.
What about like a New York?
No, nah, they're too good, I think.
You think even New York is too good, but you threw out the Magic.
We're like young
teams. Well, because the Magic like struggle. No, because the Magic
it's
struggle.
Exactly being conundrum here.
The Magic struggle offensively still a little bit, right? So, like, I'm trying to think, like, all right, score, fit. They have open guard spots in the rotation. The Knicks don't struggle offensively. Yeah. And they don't, you know, they, like, geez, like, you cannot have Julius Randle and Zach LaVine on the same team.
That would be like electric.
So, honestly. All right, is Toronto, like, Toronto?
No way Toronto wants to do it. Because they're nearing the end of this iteration with some free agents, some guys they got to make decisions on. Why would you take on that contract and just set yourself back for the beginning of the Scotty Barnes era?
Let's get weird. What about the Warriors?
I literally...
Now maybe the Warriors would.
We literally Chris just Paul talked about how you said that they were just going to run it back. Like,
yeah, I believe that, but like... Because I don't think they could... I don't think they're going to let Klay go anywhere.
Klay is an untouchable Warrior. Klay will retire as a Warrior. It's more than just his ability.
Would you move Wiggins in a deal for Zach LaVine?
Maybe, but then what do you got? You've got Zach LaVine, Steph, and Chris Paul.
And the ghost of Klay Thompson.
And the ghost of Klay Thompson all on the same.
And you got to get Pachemski minutes for Jay King.
Yeah, buddy.
There's the analysis right there. All right, let's move on to the next.
Very on brand.
I think it's a 9. I don't think a deal happens before the trade deadline. Now, I also am on record of saying I didn't think that James Harden was going to get traded to the Clippers this year. I thought they're going to trade him somewhere else, and then that like a week later he got traded. So what do I know? But I don't see an easy trade here.
I just feel like they have to trade him though.
All right, last topic of how real. The Magic and the Thunder will make round 2 of the NBA playoffs. Jay King, how real?
This is 9. 9.
That both?
Both.
9. Wow.
Both.
9. Yeah. The Thunder are, they're going to win the first round.
The Thunder, I'm not worried about. Like, that's.
I'm ready, but the Magic. I think they win one too. They're really good. Their defense is awesome. I think honestly, like Banchero and Wagner are going to be like those are playoff guys.
No. Hold on. No, I'm gonna throw teams at you. First round matchups, and you gotta tell me if they're gonna beat them. Okay. If you're putting this at a 9.
I went pre-contrarian here, by the way. But
no, you're going full
contrarian. I'm ready.
You're going full contrarian.
Let's hear the East. Right. Hear it.
The Knicks. 7-game series.
They would beat them.
Beat the Knicks.
I don't know.
They would beat the Pacers.
Nets, the most underrated team.
They would beat the Nets. East.
I don't know. It's a tough matchup. The Heat.
I think you lose me there.
They're not beating the Heat.
Yeah,
I couldn't hear the Zach Hawks. On this one. He's frozen on my side. Who did he say?
He said the Heat.
They're not beating the Heat.
No, exactly. Not beating the Heat. Jay
can't hear you. It depends on matchup for them.
I love that now Josh has to relay what's happening to Jay. The Hawks. Middleman. This is Josh is a true glue guy right here. Teamwork.
They would beat the Hawks.
They beat the Hawks. Yep.
Pacers.
They would beat the Pacers.
Yeah. They would beat the Pacers.
I don't
in
know
a series.
About
yeah.
I don't
in
know.
A series.
I think they would beat score.
Them. Yeah, but playoff defense. If you get a 7-game series to really dial in on somebody defensively, I think that
the Cavs.
Cavs would be a disgusting series. That would be a hideous series, and I don't know who would win.
I don't know who wins that
strong
one.
Strong take.
But I'm saying there's a lot of teams that they could be. It depends on the matchup, who they get in the first round. But the Magic are a formidable squad.
Dave's right. That's an NBA TVS series right there. That is.
It would be gross, man.
We go now to Roparish.
Although, you know what? Jalen Suggs versus Donovan Mitchell.
Stop. All right.
I'm into
it. That's going to do it for this edition of Basket Buds. I'm not breaking down Jalen Suggs versus Donovan Mitchell in fucking December, okay? We're not doing
Wagner
that.
Wagner versus Jared Allen? That shit would be electric.
Absolutely not. All right. Make sure you subscribe to all things you got to subscribe to. Subscribe to The Bounce, free newsletter from The Athletic every morning in your inbox from yours truly and Shams Charania. For Josh Huestis, for Jay King, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.